Today on CityCast Houston, we're starting to see the first results of city council members getting more power from Prop A, and not everybody is happy about it. Plus, new financial records uncovered some interesting findings regarding Senator Ted Cruz. And this streaming platform is helping Black filmmakers in Houston thrive. Independent journalist Camilo Hannibal Smith joins me to recap the news from the week in H-Town. It's Friday, April 5th. I'm Raheel Ramzanali, and here's what Houston's talking about. Camilo, welcome back in, man. How are you?
All right. I'm doing good, Raheel. How are you?
I'm pumped, man. It's a great day to be alive. It's a beautiful day. It's Friday. And before we start with some of the news, I just want to mention a couple of things that I'm excited about. Number one, today is our live taping before the Rockets game. So if you are attending, if you bought a discounted ticket, then we have emailed you a pass for the live taping. It starts at 5:30, gates open at 5 o'clock. You do have to come through the Sky Bridge, which is inside the Tundra garage. You don't have to park there. You can just enter up there and then go through the Sky Bridge, and they'll let you into the room that we're doing our live taping. And then, of course, we stick around for the game. So that is tonight. And again, check your email, whichever email you bought your Rockets tickets with, that's where we emailed you the pass. So we are excited to see everyone there for our big live taping. And then number two, Camilo, this is a really great run for Houston music. I know everybody's still hyped over last week's Cowboy Carter, right? Beyonce just changed the game again. But today, Houston's own Krungbin released their fourth studio album, A La Sala. And I highly recommend it to everybody. It's unreal how good this album is going to be just based on the three tracks that were released. And it is out right now. So I just want to give some love to another Houston band, and this looks to be like one of their best albums ever. So if you haven't checked them out, you want to support Houston arts, Krungbin's new album is out, and they're one of my favorite bands. I can't wait.
No, they're amazing. They're amazing. Definitely a good look for Houston to have them on the international scene. I love them.
All right, now that we've gotten all that good news out of the way, let's go to some big stories, and you kick us off. What do you got?
The biggest story, you know, I found this week was this really wild, deadly shooting that happened in Wayside. A dignitary from the Dominican Republic, his son, who was living in Houston, was shot to death. This guy is a local reggaeton artist known as El Picante. And he was ambushed. And there's photos of this thing. And it just looked wild. It looks like a hit with long guns, automatic weapons. I don't know what was going on, but what's really scary about this is you know, Wayside is, you know, it's a big shopping area. I know I go there a lot. And yeah, this happened at like 8 o'clock at night a couple of days ago. It's kind of like an international thing, you know. I mean, this is the president of Dominican Republic's Congress, lower house of Congress. This is his son who was killed in this attack. And nobody really has any answers. They're still trying to figure out what happened and why this happened.
Yeah, man, looking at those pictures that HPD released, this, you know, I don't want to compare it to a TV show or anything because this is real life, but man, it looks like a TV show with how these guys pulled up with their automatic weapons, the machine guns, and it was a hit, right? Like that's what it seems like, and it is so scary.
Yeah, scary stuff like this is going on in our city. This is right in the heart of Houston.
The other thing about this, as you mentioned, this is now picking up international steam, right? Because of the dignitary involved in all of this. What are your thoughts on this? Like, look, there's crime in every city, right? And things happen. And now that this story is making the international headlines, like, do you think it's painting our city in an unfair light?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Houston's the hub of a lot of things. It attracts a lot of folks from all over the country. I know recently some headlines have kind of given me some pause, you know, like they found some cartel activity in Galveston. And so, I mean, it's not a surprise that, you know, there are international crime rings operating here and it could extend to, you know, something a little more nefarious. I think, you know, being that we're the fourth largest city, you know, in the country, these kinds of things are going to happen. It's fair to report these things. It's fair to be aware. I think it's good. It's good that we know this stuff is going on. But yeah, I don't know the whole crime thing. I thought it was going down, but I guess violent crime is up. You know, who knows? But it's definitely something to keep an eye on. It gives me a lot of pause. But Yeah, I still feel safe walking around every day out here, but I definitely keep my head on a swivel depending on where I'm at.
Yeah, it definitely is scary, but that's where you have to kind of take the bigger picture approach, right? Like look at the overall numbers, right? Because these big stories are important, as you mentioned, and we need to talk about them. We need to report on them, but maybe it's not as rampant as we think it is. And by the way, that cartel bus, it had 23 people arrested, and the indictment, which comprised of 50 counts, accuses these individuals of involvement in trafficking cocaine, fentanyl, heroin, and meth, and allegedly under the direction of the Jalisco New Generation Cartel. So cartel activity happening here. And shout out to local law enforcement for getting these people off the streets and making this bust happen, right? Like they worked really hard to get this done. So shout out to them. But yeah, definitely scary.
Yeah. Good thing the law enforcement is keeping an eye on that.
Okay, I'm going to get to my biggest story, Camilo. And this is all about City Council and Mayor Whitmire. Because this week, things got heated when council member Edward Pollard and Mayor Whitmire went back and forth on how to hear items with Prop A, which passed last year. And that is the amendment that allows any three council members to come together and add an item to the council agenda, which made a sharp turn from the strong mayor system we've had in Houston politics for years. So long story short, council member Pollard added a speed bump ordinance change that would make it easier for council members to add speed bumps in their neighborhoods. Well, since Whitmire has taken office, his administration has created a Prop A committee that serves as a platform to review proposals that members want to bring forward. Almost like a, hey, wait, before you add this, let us look at it, right? And then things got heated in the meeting, Camilo, because Mayor Whitmire says, I just think it would be better if you allowed a public hearing and let your colleagues that are not familiar with this process that you're trying to correct play a role. And then Councilmember Pollard says, that charter change was not meant for committee hearings, talking about Prop A. It was meant for council members to bring any item that is lawful to the agenda at any designated date. That is what it says. Man, it is going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, but a little heat here. Man, what a mess.
There's so much on the plate for our new mayor. He's talking about raising taxes to pay for the firefighters' pension. But in addition to that, like this, you know, in my neighborhood, I know that there's a metro expansion that is on the not a light rail, but a metro bus lane situation that I believe they're trying to get the mayor involved with. I know that's affecting my neighborhood, and people are worried about having their property taken away. So this new Prop A, is it a proposal?
Oh no, it passed. So it is now part of how City Council operates, right? So any three City Council members can just say, hey, we're talking about this on the agenda this week. Before, you would have to get it approved. The mayor's staff would have to put it on. That's my understanding. Now it's just like, no, we're adding this to the agenda if three council members are good with it. So it kind of shifts the power a little bit more back to the City Council members as opposed to that heavy, dominant mayor style.
Yeah, no, I like that. You know, I like that the council gets the weigh in. I know that there was a lot of talk about the at-large council person. I think for this exact reason is, you know, being able to weigh in. Everyone gets a fair share and gets a shake for their constituents.
All right, let's get to our most overlooked stories. What do you got?
The story that I thought was the most overlooked, because it was an email that I looked at that came through, was this this universal basic income pilot that they're doing out here for Harris County, where people were able to receive $500 a month. This is from a story in Business Insider. It's also been covered other places. But they say that starting this month, 1,928 families will receive $500 a month with no strings attached from Uplift Harris. Okay, so this is a guaranteed income pilot that they're doing out here in Texas. Folks were alerted to they could start accepting this money as early as March 22nd. This is a good thing. You know, I have a small child and I have to tell him that, you know what, AI might mean that you have to reconsider your working choices. This is just a belief I have from some discussions I've had with people. But if AI is going to take over the world, right, then we're going to need like a universal basic income program, because there are going to be so many other jobs shut out. Like I've done marketing work before, and now I know that ChatGPT or really any kind of AI software can like write tweets and write PR, you know, press releases. I mean, you have to go in and tweak them, but Instead of needing three people, you might just need one or two. And so I think that's just a reality. One of the criticisms about this Houston area guaranteed income program is that only 2% of the people who applied received it. So again, that's still, you know, close to 2,000 people who will be getting this money, you know, no strings attached. But, you know, it's interesting that the barriers were so high for this. I know they piloted this in other cities as well, but it'd be good to see, you know, going forward, if this is going to be something that we could all participate in, or I don't know, us media types, if we're going to need to lean on something like this in the future.
So over 82,000 people applied for Uplift Harris for a chance to get that $500 for 18 months, right? And a majority of the participants selected live in high poverty zip codes and have a household income below 200% of the federal poverty line. So this is huge for them. And I love programs like this, especially in a pilot phase. Like, let's learn how this could help, right? Like, if this could help us, and if this could help a family now afford, let's say, childcare, and now one of the parents can go work and add to the city's economy and thus spending more money. Like, is there a trend that could help us all with this, right? Is this going to uplift Harris, like what the program is called? Let's do a test. And I love that we are doing this test. And I love that it is something that we can look at and maybe roll out on a bigger stage. I don't like the fact that only 2% got it, right? Because these families need it. I can only talk about my experience. Look, we are very fortunate, my family, and I count all my blessings. But during the pandemic, when we were getting an extra $500 a month, that changed everything. That makes things so much easier, right? Mm. So imagine what it does for families who are living in these high poverty zip codes, how important this is. Then the second part of this, the impact it has on other economies. As I mentioned, some families could be using this for childcare. There is no stipulation. You can use it for whatever you want, right? So think about what this does for other parts of our economy, right? Like, people are going to be spending more money, right? So we'll see how this all plays out. I know people who are involved in certain industries where when this started rolling out, they're like, this is great for us because now we know that people are going to be spending money. So that's good to hear, but I can't wait to see the results of this 18 months from now.
For sure. Yeah. You know, it could have definitely better health outcomes, people eating better, buying more fresh food.
Or maybe buying a car or being able to afford a car. And now you can go to work, or another family member can go to work. Like, who knows what impact this has on families that are getting this, but we will learn here shortly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, keep an eye on this.
Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone, and it's popping. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. From the world-class theater district to incredible green spaces like Discovery Green, downtown is the place to be. In fact, more people visited downtown Houston last year than the entire population of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and San Antonio combined. There's no better time to live downtown than now. From starter apartments to luxury lofts, everyone can take advantage of the arts, business, culture, entertainment, food, and recreation. Now, you might think of downtown as only the heartbeat of Houston's regional economy, which it is, but there's so much more to it, including free events throughout the week with Downtown Houston Plus. From the Market Square Park Farmers Market every Saturday to Yoga Flow every Wednesday, you can find something to do and eat and watch in downtown Houston. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston, get energized and revived.
All right, I'm going to get to my most overlooked story. And this one involves our friend at ABC 13, Shannon Ryan, who's been on the show. And she was on the receiving end of some snappy responses from professional podcaster Ted Cruz. Now, our state senator has been doing a podcast for a while, but new financial records are showing an interesting relationship with Ted Cruz and iHeartMedia, where he hosts his podcast. iHeartMedia donated $630,000 to Ted Cruz's PAC, that is, to get him reelected. Now, why is this an issue? Because Cruz has been saying he doesn't get paid for this podcast, and then when Shannon Ryan asked him about it, he did everything but answer about these new financial numbers that have come out. And he said that, look, we've already been investigated by the Senate Ethics Committee about this, but that investigation was regarding him just starting the podcast, and that was in 2022, and did not take into account this new twist where financial records again disclosed that iHeartMedia's PAC, it paid him $630,000. So I just wanted to bring this story up as like, I get it. Look, Ted Cruz is going to say, oh, the left-leaning media, of course, they're out to get us. I just want politicians to answer a question. That's it. Can you just answer a question when somebody asks you, especially journalists, like, hey, look, this is what's happening. All he had to do was like, yes, these are new financial findings. We will take it to the Senate Ethics Committee and we'll find out how they rule on this. Not lie and say that, oh, they've already looked into this when it wasn't this issue. I hate this so much. Can we all just be a little bit more clear as politicians and as people who are representing people? That's all I want.
Yeah, don't be so afraid to go on the record about stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been living in Houston about 10 years, and I have yet to meet who are the people who vote for Ted Cruz, because I'm just curious about that. And also, you know, iHeartMedia, they just gave Beyonce an award. And so to see, like, you know, the news about this come up, and then, you know, they gave her an award, and I don't know, a lot of Houston stuff going on with iHeartMedia. But, you know, if they're supporting Ted Cruz, you know, that he needs to be transparent about that.
Exactly.
I think it's only right.
Especially if you're saying you're not getting paid to do this podcast, you're doing it more as a service to your constituents, but you kind of peel back the layers of the onion here and you go, well, you kind of are getting paid for it, right? Because it's hosted on iHeartMedia and they just donate $630,000 for your PAC, which is a reelection campaign. And then you have a fierce Democratic challenger in U.S. Rep. Colin Allred, who is standing in your way for another re-election bid. So it does get fishy, right? It kind of gets messy here. But I was just so furious when I saw this story. And I'm like, oh my God, are you really just attacking Shannon instead of just answering the question? That's all we want you to do. Just answer the question and move on and let the Senate Ethics Committee figure the rest out. I just want honesty. That's it.
Yeah, attacking reporters for asking basic questions is never a good look.
Never. Hey, let's get to our moment of joy. Let's end on a high note. What you got?
There's going to be an eclipse party on next week. And for me, that's a lot of fun. Everybody's taking it pretty serious. I know my kids getting some free glasses at school. But there are also some places that are actually canceling school. They're a little outside of Houston. But they're canceling school to give students the opportunity to take it all in and not have to worry about, you know, afternoon rush and going out and check out the eclipse, come back to class. So there's some schools, some school districts in the area who are going to cancel. I believe Rice is also going to cancel, you know, university wise, Rice is going to cancel classes that day. And, you know, I think this is going to be a really great time to be outside and, you know, make sure you have your glasses so you don't mess up your eyes.
Yeah.
But it's kind of exciting. You know, this is for some people, this is a once in a lifetime thing. And
I can't wait.
You know, for others, we'll be little old people with canes when this comes back around, hopefully.
I know. I can't wait for this. We're going to San Antonio, as I've mentioned on the podcast before, and my daughter's going to be sick on Monday, quote unquote sick. So, you know, we're taking the day off. I want to go look at this, and I know it's going to be cloudy. So we're hoping the clouds aren't too thick so you can at least see the eclipse happen. And then we're going to be in the path of totality where for 4 minutes, it's going to be completely dark. And that is a once in a lifetime feeling. I talked to my friend who said he did this back when it happened a few years ago. And he's like, it is life changing. So I was like, okay, it's in San Antonio. It's in the path of totality. So we're going to drive up there, stay with my uncle for the night, and then go Monday morning, drive up to Kerrville and be in that, you know, in that path of totality, like even deeper. Even if it's cloudy, it's still going to get dark. And in fact, a lot of people are saying that it's going to be even more intense because it's already dark. And then all of a sudden the sun is gone, covered by the moon. And it's going to feel like night at 1 p.m. or 1:30-ish roughly. So I can't wait. And I hope somehow, some way Fort Bend is like, hey, don't worry about coming to school because I don't want to lie that my daughter is really not sick, but she's going to be sick on Monday. So if your teachers are listening, I'm sorry. We're skipping school, okay? This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, so we're going to skip school. No big deal. But yeah, I love these parties, and I love that, you know, schools are making this an event.
Yeah, it's all about those core memories. This will be a core memory for a lot of those kids.
Absolutely. Hey, my moment of joy, I saw this story on the Houston Chronicle about how Black filmmakers in Houston are finding a home on Tubi, which is a free streaming service, by creating so much content that highlights the city and experiences from the city. And these low-budget films, around $10,000 or so, are helping independent creators gain an audience and valuable experience. And I read this story and I was like, this is amazing. I love seeing stuff like this. And then I look at the byline and it is you, Camilo. You wrote the story, man. What an excellent story, and what a way to highlight something that people aren't talking about, how Tubi is changing the game for filmmakers here in Houston.
Yeah, it's giving them a platform. You know, this, I'd been, you know, tossing this one around in my head for a couple years, and we don't really have a huge archive, a visual archive of what Houston has looked like, you know, in the early 2000s, in the late 90s. I mean, you can look at pictures, you can look at things like that. But as far as like seeing it on screen and just seeing it change, if you look on Tubi, there's movies going back to, yeah, to the 90s, to the late 90s, middle, late 90s, where these, a large majority of them were Black filmmakers. They were either doing something based on our local hip hop culture, or, you know, telling a romance or another type of story. And yeah, they were able to fund it. It was probably a lot more expensive back in the 90s than it was, you know, now with filmmaking tools so much cheaper. I love being able to tell stories that highlight our various, you know, cultures, our various ethnicities in the city, which really is one of the reasons why I live here. It's just because it's overwhelming in a good way, because you get to learn so much from other people. And when you look at their art, it's just amazing. I don't want to give it away, but originally I was looking at Mexican films, because there's actually Mexican production here on a similar wave, kind of like lower budget crime dramas. And I'd written about it for crime.com many years ago, and I was trying to revisit that in a longer format. So yeah, the Black filmmaker experience is one that I think Tubi is able to lift up. So thanks for shouting that one out. You don't have to go to Hollywood to have a film career. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
You can stay right here in Houston.
That's what I love, man. I love that. It's, you can pull up your own chair to the table, right? And create your content, do it at a low budget, get the experience, and then put it up on Tubi. And then, from my understanding, is they will split ad revenue with you, right? So if your product is good and people are watching, then you will get a split of the ad revenue, and it's on a streaming platform. You can put it up on YouTube as well, but YouTube is so saturated, it's so hard to find. And on Tubi, it's just so much easier. And as you mentioned in your story, you just search for Houston and you'll get so many results and so many interesting things. So I wanted to highlight that. That was awesome, awesome work. And I've linked the stories along with all the stories we talked about in our show notes. So if you want to get some recommendations, it is in that link. Camilo, that was a lot of fun, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Always. Thanks for having me.
That was Camilo Hannibal-Smith. Hey, before we go, I just want to send some love to Texas A&M's Race and Ethnic Studies Institute for inviting me to be part of their Asian American Popular Culture Symposium yesterday. I had a great time being part of their first panel on Asian Americans in media and art, and I just want to thank Professor Villanueva once again for inviting me. And by the way, tonight is the big night where we'll be doing our first live taping at the Houston Rockets game. And again, if you purchase tickets, check your email for your passes for the live taping, and I hope to see everyone there. That will do it for this week here on CityCast Houston. Our producers are Carleon Jones and Joyce Tang. Our newsletter editor is Brooke Lewis, and the host is me, Raheel Ramzanali. Our music is by the band All the Kimonos. We'll be back on Monday with a look at how racially profiled traffic stops are impacting our community. Thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something new. Meeting where Mayor, I can't talk.